This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. The key to being ready for Christmas is a warm heart. In this message entitled, Getting Ready for Christmas, Warming Up the Heart, Pastor Aaron provides three practical steps to keep in order to ensure that we finish the year strong. This message was delivered on December 3rd, 2017. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Hey, would you welcome, we got like an awesome speaker this morning who I love and who does a wonderful job with the worship team, and everything that he puts his hand to, there is success. And if you ever went fishing with him, you understand, because he catches all the fish all the time. And you're thinking like, how is that? Because he has God in his life. So would you welcome Pastor Aaron Pacheco?
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Obviously, he's never seen me golf before. Well, good morning, everybody. You know, I gotta confess, kind of jealous this morning. You know why? Because Brother John got to lead worship, and he got to be the first one in this church to wish you all a Merry Christmas. That's usually my job. But I want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas this morning. And you probably didn't notice, but last week, Carlin and I were not here last Sunday. After 2 years of not missing a Sunday here, Pastor Scott actually told me, hey, you've been in church more than I've been in this church, and I'm the senior pastor, so you got to take a week off. So last week we did, and we actually went up to visit one of our sister churches where a very good friend of mine has been the senior pastor for the last 20 years or so, and it was really nice to see him, to love upon him and his wife, to see all the family in our other churches. And, you know, the worship team, they're really good. They most of them are past professional players, and, I mean, they're excellent. They're very, very talented. But I tell you what, after a couple of songs, and it was nice singing with them, and they're really good again. But after a couple of songs, I was like, yeah, my team more better. And, you know, they proved it today. I'm standing there, and I'm just enjoying and loving the worship. And maybe it might not be that we're really better than them, but this is the gift that God gave to me, that I get to be in this church, and I get to be a part of this worship team. I want to thank them. For the last 2 weeks, they've covered for me and allowed me to do the things that I get to do, like speaking today, without having the pressure of having to lead worship. So I really want to thank them. And Brother John was awesome this morning, yeah? You know, when I told him he was leading this week, he looked at me and he laughed. And then the following week, he said, you were serious. So yes, I was. He did a great job. You know what else I miss? I also miss listening to my senior pastor deliver the message. You know, I've heard so many, many pastors speak before, but nobody can do it like Pastor Scott, yeah? And I miss it so much that I actually went online, first chance that I got, to listen to the message. And he did an awesome job last week encouraging us to gear up for a great finish to this year. And one of the things that he mentioned on finishing this year well was to have a great Christmas. And I fully agree. I've heard it said so many times by enlightened scholars that the first Christmas could not possibly have taken place during winter. And that's probably true. But I believe this. I believe with all my heart that God ordained it to be celebrated right where it is, at the end of the year. You know why? So that we'd have an opportunity to finish the year well. Well, Christmas season is at hand. The weather is here. Thanksgiving's come and gone, aside from the extra weight, that is. The retailers have all the sales going, and many of you already have your Christmas trees up. My wife, Carlin, loves Christmas so much, we have two. Three. She's hiding one from me. Christmas is here whether we like it or not. And I do mean with a good measure of conviction whether we like it or not. Because although we associate Christmas with terms like joy and good tidings and peace, the truth is that it can be very unlike those things at all. And I know this one firsthand. You know, when we imagine Christmas here in Hawaii, where everything is green and bright, we often paint the picture of a white Christmas, this tranquil scene with snowflakes gently falling through the earth, piling up to a pristine carpet that crunches softly under your feet as you walk through the fields. Ah, Christmas, right? Not always. For those of you, especially the local boys like me, who never had the opportunity to spend the winter up north, let me paint a different scenario for you. It was my first winter in Spokane, Washington. And it actually snowed a couple days before Thanksgiving. And it was like that, beautiful. Snow came down, falling, and of course, all us local boys out in our shorts and slippers building snowmen out there. And yes, if the story is still going around Spokane and you visit there, about the 1 in 10 local boy, first day of snow, breaks a window. I was that one that year. But it was nice. But the snow only lasted for 2 days for that one, because we had what's called an Indian summer that came through. And it was like between 70 and 80 degrees for the next few weeks. And we're walking around thinking, where is this white Christmas that everybody's talking about? Well, it came. It came on the week of finals. And that week, I woke up one morning to, what was it? It was 40 degrees below zero. Snowing, yes, with a wind that was about 20 miles an hour. So snow wasn't coming down, it was coming sideways, piling up on everything. And within like an hour and a half, we had 4 feet of snow to our door. And you know what? They didn't even cancel classes because it was finals week. So we actually had to dig ourselves out and go to classes, and it was miserable. You know, we've been grumbling because it's been cold, yeah? 60 degrees. Well, it was, with the wind chill, it was 70 degrees there, below zero. It was bad. I mean, it was storming. Everything just freezes up. But at the end of finals week, and this happened for 1 week, so you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, I'm going to finish this week. I'm going home, and I ain't coming back. But at the end of when I took my last final, you see, there was this family up there who actually had kind of adopted me. They, younger couple, but they had 3 young kids. And on the last day of finals, the dad came, and he picked me up. And he said, you come stay with us tonight, and we'll take you to the airport tomorrow. And they took me inside into their home, and I had the first home-cooked meal that I've had in 3 months. And after dinner was over, it was they lit up the fireplace. We toasted marshmallows. We drank cocoa. And then the 3 kids jumped on my lap as we sat on the couch, and they wanted to hear what Christmas was like in Hawaii. And I imagine that was what Christmas, the white Christmas, was really all about. You see, because the storm is whipping on the outside, families had to pile together and stay together. They were trapped together on the inside, enjoying one another for Christmas. See, on the outside, it was still storming, still whipping, snow still piling up like crazy, but inside, that's where the peace was, the good tidings, the joy. No matter what was going on the outside, I believe that God was showing me that Christmas was happening on the inside. Now, I wish that I could say that I always remembered that analogy, but that's not true, because I mentioned beforehand that I know firsthand how unjoyful Christmas time can be. You see, many years ago, I was a young volunteer assistant pastor at one of our sister churches. I also worked a full-time job, more than full-time, because there was a lot of overtime, as a lineman for Helco. And Carlin can attest to this, that for 7 years of my life, I did not have a day off. I was either at a trouble call or working as a troubleshooter during Christmas Eve. 7 years. And then after I got off of work, I would have to go and help run the Christmas Eve program. To add to that, I had a leader who I served under at that church who hated Christmas. See why I love Pastor Scott so much? So I became accustomed to not liking Christmas. But somewhere down the line, God gave me a wife who enjoyed Christmas so much. Somewhere down the line, I remembered what that first Christmas in Spokane was like. That God was showing me that, you know, with everything that goes on during Christmas times, with the feelings that are magnified, and all of those things, the storm may be whipping around on the outside, but Christmas is really happening on the inside, if I choose it. This morning, I hope that you would understand that Christmas is not something that goes on out here. It's really something that begins on the inside, in the heart. And that it's vital to get the heart warmed up so that despite what is going on the outside, it cannot steal Christmas from you. So this morning, let me share with you three simple things that you can do to accomplish that. And the first is just that. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Do not, and I repeat, do not let Christmas become a time of complication. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of a storm that it can be, because that'll make your heart go cold real fast. Instead, allow it to be the awesome yet simple gift that God meant for it to be. Prophet Isaiah was given an inside track many years before Jesus was born to what Christmas was to be. In chapter 9, verse 6, this is what he wrote. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. This will be his royal titles: Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." You see, when God wanted to give us the greatest gift of all, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the way to eternity, you know what he could have done? He could have wrapped him up in the form of a massive warrior, a great king, or some kind of cosmic complicated being that we could not understand, let alone accept. But instead of being complicated, God chose to wrap up the gift of salvation in simplicity. And he delivered Jesus to us in the form of a child, a baby who would grow up with us, who would live just like us, go through the same things we do, and then give himself up for us. Something, or rather someone, who we could understand, who we could identify with, who we would accept. See, God kept it simple. You know why he did that? He did that because every fire, especially the ones that on the inside that warm up the heart, begins with one spark. And that is how simple God meant for it to be. God kept it simple. The world is what tries to complicate everything with all of its marketing schemes and technology and such. The thing is, if we allow ourselves to get caught up in the business of Christmas, if we choose to be burdened down by the winter storms that this world can produce, that's like leaving the door open so that the wind can come in and will extinguish the fire of Christmas in our hearts. Check out what the spark, Jesus Christ himself, has to say about that. In his own words, Matthew 11, and in your notes you have verse 30, but I'm going to start reading from verse 28, where he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I was once told a story about this family, father, mother, young child, a young girl, and her grandmother. And they were out for this nice little Christmas walk to go look at the lights in their neighborhood. And they happened to come upon this beautiful, beautiful nativity scene that was set up in somebody's yard. And a conversation started up about which one of the gifts was the best one that the wise men brought. Well, mom said it was the myrrh, because myrrh was the most costly of oil in Jesus' time. Not only fragrant, but its medicinal purposes were incredible. Well, dad said, nah, not the myrrh. Frankincense was the greatest. You see, frankincense is a resin extract that was used for relaxation and spiritual meditation. So that was the most important one. Then, of course, grandma piped in, and grandma said, no, always gold. Gold is always the most important gift. Gold is what we use for our financial standing. It's got to be gold. So the three of them started going at it. At first it was pleasant, but then it really quickly turned ugly, where they started calling each other names and saying that they were smarter than each other. And then all of a sudden, all three of them felt a tug on their shirts, and they looked down at the little girl in dismay because of what was going on. And they stopped arguing. And then dad got an idea, because he wanted to prove himself right. He leaned down at the little girl and he said, what do you think is the greatest gift? Little girl looked at the nativity scene and without hesitation said, the baby. The baby was the most important. Christmas, my friends, was never meant to be complicated. Awesome, wonderful, joyful, even eternal, but not complicated. It's all about us allowing God to strike the spark of Jesus Christ into our hearts and then allowing that spark to become a warming fire and not allowing the winter winds of this world to blow it out. So keep it simple. Which brings me to number two. Keep Christ in it. Keep Christ in it. See, once you've got the spark that lights the flame, that warms the heart, keep it going. Don't let it go. And what I mean is, keep Christ in your Christmas. The enemy of our God, we refer to him as the devil, the prince of this world, works overtime during the Christmas season. And his main objective during this season is to take the focus off of Christ. Because if he can do that, then he's stolen the whole reason for the season, extinguishing the flame, leading to a cold winter. And you know how he does it? Starts off really simple, really small. For example, X-MAS. That's how it starts, taking Christ and using an X instead of his name. Starts very small, but slowly and surely, if he can do that, then he can entice us to remove Jesus from every aspect of the season until it's just another holiday. The Apostle Paul has the remedy for that. In his letter to the Hebrews, he writes, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." What is Paul saying here? He's saying that keep your focus on Jesus and the awesome gift that he is, and you won't lose heart. I've heard many people say that Christmas is every day for them. For most of them, I would say that's not true. That's just a reason not to buy Christmas gifts. But the ones who actually live out this statement are the ones that I like to be around every day of the year, because it's always warm around them. They're the most loving, caring, and giving people in the world. And that's because Christ is a part of their everyday. They never lose focus of what he's done and is doing in their lives. And if we can be just like that, especially in this season, if we can just allow Jesus to be a part of it, it'll warm our hearts as well as the hearts of others through the coldest of winters. It was about 10 years ago. I was doing an assignment trying to answer the question of what do I do to get ready for Christmas? And I was kind of stuck on that one thinking about it. Just so happened that my son, AJ, who was 10 at the time, was passing my room. So I stopped him and I asked him, AJ, what do you do to get your heart ready for Christmas? And I fully expected to get a 10-year-old answer. And boy, did I ever. Without even pausing to think, he replied, I think about all the things I love, the people who love me, and spending time with them. Then he stopped, he smiled, and he said this, and the gifts they're going to give me. Carlin's kid. And then he ran off. But that stuck with me. I think about all the things I love. You know what I think? Actually, it's what I believe with all my heart, that this is what God was thinking about when he thought up Christmas in the first place. He thought about all the things he loves, about all the Charlies, all the Johns, all the Amys and the Dianes and the Aarons. He thought about us. That is what makes this season so special, so powerful, that the creator of all the universe thought about what he loved, his children. And that thinking invoked him to give the greatest gift of all, the gift that would change eternity. Referring to Christmas, Jesus did not say that God so thought about how bad the world is. He didn't say he dwelt on how much we don't listen to him. He didn't say how badly he was hurt by the lack of respect we have for him. You know what he said? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's what he said. That's how important it is in our thinking when it comes to Christmas. So point three is keep your thoughts pure. Keep your thoughts pure. Because nothing can warm the heart like thinking about the things we love. Likewise, nothing can blow out the flame of Christmas like dwelling on the negative. You see, everything that goes on up here will flow down to here. And after it gets to here, it flows out to here, and to here. Now, if what gets into the heart is cold, what will flow out of the extremities, especially this one, will be frigid as well. Now think about what that does to the people around you. Your spouses, your children, your friends. The people that you love. That's how important your thinking is. Again, Paul knows the answer for this one. Philippians 4:8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Now, I love how it's paraphrased in the Message version. Same scripture. It says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Now, we all know that feelings can be magnified at this time of the year, whether good or bad. This season brings them out, and they do play on our minds. Can I encourage you this morning to get your thinking going in the right direction this Christmas? To dwell on the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. To dwell on the things and the people who God has given you to love this year. And to let it warm your heart in such a way that it ends up warming everything out here. Ends up warming the lives of others around you. You can write this into your bottom line for today. That Christmas is all in the heart. I love this church. Yeah. Christmas is all in the heart. Amen. We're going to be receiving communion, and the ushers are passing out the elements right now. Thank you, John. And I know that sometimes we can complicate this ritual that we do, that we call communion, but actually it's really, really, just like Christmas, God meant it to be very, very simple. Because you see, when we do communion, just like Christmas, it's really all about remembering God's love. That's how simple it really is. That God allowed us to have a gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. And that gift would come down and take on all the things that would keep us from spending an eternity with God in heaven the way that God meant it to be because of this thing called sin. What it really is that Jesus laid himself down to take that place. And that's what God is asking us to remember. It's not about all the things that the bread can be and the way that it's made and all that. It's not about the getting complicated about what the cup was all about. It's really a simple thing that Jesus said, I love you this much. And he came, laid down his life as a gift for us. That's what it's all about. It said that on that night, Jesus took the bread and he broke it as a symbol of his body. And he said, this is my body that I will be broken for you. Let's eat of the bread together. And in the same manner, he took the cup. And he said, this is my blood that is poured out for you as a ransom for your sins. Let's drink of the cup together. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. That he laid down his life for us, Lord, so that we could spend eternity with you. Father, and right now as we take communion together as this church called New Hope East Hawaii, I thank you for this church, Lord, and that we get to do this together. Don't ever let us forget the wonderful gift that you gave. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you thank Pastor Aaron?
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keao, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808 936-6651 or visit www.nohopeeasthawaii.com.